teachers are isolated and too many of them find it hard to keep up to date with the latest research on teaching practices. This according to a survey released today. The survey of 300 teachers was conducted by a new non-profit organisation, the Education Hub, which is set up to promote cooperation within education. It finds that less than one or fewer than one in five teachers say they find it easy to keep up to date with the latest research. The Education Hub founder, Dr. Nina Hood, says part of the problem is that researchers are writing for other researchers and their work is not easily accessible or usable for teachers. She says teachers desperately want to understand the latest research on how to help struggling learners, but they don't know where to turn. She says the Education Hub, a charitable trust, as we said, launched today, aims to bridge the gap between research and teaching in the classroom and to better connect educators. Dr. Hood says New Zealand's education system is failing too many children, particularly from poorer families, and it needs transformation. She's in the Auckland studio. Very good morning to you.
Good morning, Catherine.
You've had experience on both sides of this. Go back to the beginning. You were a teacher yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. So I started my career as a secondary school social sciences teacher in Auckland. And I think that's probably where I first started to encounter this problem. When I was wanting to address a particular challenge or issue I was finding in my practice, sometimes I'd go to the research literature and it would provide me with lots of interesting ideas. But I always was struck by the question of, well, if that's what the research says, what do I actually do at 9 a.m. on a Monday morning to help the students in front of me? And I think that there's often a disconnect between the sort of the know what in the research and the actual practical application of how to do it.
That's not atypical, probably, of many academic areas, indeed. Something's got to bridge the pure research and its practical application. And you say that's lacking in education.
Absolutely. I think to date, there's not really been anyone who's had the responsibility for disseminating knowledge from research into practice and also at the same time capturing the knowledge that our educators have and are developing every day in their classrooms and ensuring that we are able to put it into a form that's usable and disseminating that out across all schools in the country.
You then went into educational research yourself, first in Auckland, I think, and then further afield. Just tell me where you've been on that journey.
Sure. So I decided after a few years in the classroom that I wanted to explore some of the issues that I was identifying within my own practice. And so I went to England and undertook a master's in education and then carried on for the PhD. And my research was looking at how educators can utilise the internet to share their own knowledge and resources among each other and the impact that that had on their teaching practice. A couple of years ago, I then came back to New Zealand and took up a post at the University of Auckland in the Faculty of Education as an educational researcher.
At Oxford, what were some of the innovation you were seeing there that you could see could become applicable all the way down, isn't it terrible to talk that way, all the way to, shall we say, the teacher in the classroom?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So I think my research that I was doing as part of my PhD was actually based in the US. And what we've seen happening in the US is that there have been a number of organisations that have developed online platforms that enable teachers to share their own resources and their own ideas with each other online. And I was looking at how teachers were actually engaging with that information and those resources created by other teachers. And what I found was that those resources and capturing the knowledge and the expertise of particularly our most effective teachers can be an incredibly powerful resource for teachers in the classroom, particularly for beginning teachers who are just starting out in their careers.
Is there anything similar in New Zealand at the moment?
I think there are different online websites that are trying to engage in this space. I think what we're trying to do with the Education Hub is trying to look at how we can take the research alongside the practical application of it and put those two things together so that we can show not only what we know from the research about what best practice is and how best to support teachers in ensuring that they're providing high quality teaching and learning opportunities with their students, but also then looking for our teachers in our schools that are really fantastic examples of that research in action and capturing that practice so that teachers can see what it looks like in the classroom.
It has to be quality and it has to be credible, otherwise everyone is going to have their pet website and their pet thing. So when you look at our system now, how does this happen? How does the research happen and where? And then what happens to it?
So I think at the moment, the way that our research is structured is it's fairly ad hoc. Researchers tend to focus on particular areas that they're interested in. And there is some fantastic research coming out, which does have incredibly useful and relevant findings for our educators. But what I'd say happens at the moment is that we don't have a particularly good way of ensuring that, firstly, we're linking researchers that are working in similar areas so that they are working together rather than in competition with each other, and also identifying that really high-quality, useful research and turning it into forms and communicating it to teachers in a way that they can use.
What were the teachers themselves telling you in this survey?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So I think there are some really promising findings from the survey, and I think probably for me the most promising one is that teachers recognise the value that research can have for them. But what they showed us was that our survey showed that only 22% actually found it easy to go out and find high-quality research. Only 25% were finding it easy to read and to interpret. And again, only 25% were finding that the research was actually helping them to answer the questions that they had in their practice. And so there's a recognition amongst teachers of the absolute important role that research can play, but they're not able to actually access it as easily as we would hope they would be able to.
Interestingly, only 10% believe research often or always has adequate input from teachers. Now, that's interesting as well, because that's almost inverting things in a way, isn't it? It's like, here's what you need to know. In what areas are they saying, but actually you needed to hear from us as well?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So I think what a lot of teachers are saying is that they don't always feel that researchers are necessarily addressing the practical questions or challenges that they face on a day-to-day basis on the ground. And one of the questions that we asked teachers and school leaders was, what are the areas that you feel like you'd want more research knowledge on? What are the areas that you're currently struggling with? And there were some really key findings coming out of that. Understanding how to integrate digital technology into their teaching practice was one of the areas that they really identified. Addressing literacy, and particularly how to help struggling learners who are struggling with their reading and writing and the practical strategies that they can employ in their teaching practice, and also understanding how to provide useful and informative assessment and feedback to their students.
How much, well, this is an impossible question, but how much of the research that you are seeing either underway or relatively up to date goes anywhere near those things?
So I think in certain areas, so I think definitely in literacy and also in assessment for learning. Within New Zealand, we have some really fantastic researchers who are undertaking high-quality, interesting, relevant research. I think what we're struggling with is the research has a lot of, is providing a lot of information about what we know about how best to teach literacy or the sort of theoretical basis for assessment and for giving feedback to students. What it hasn't done so well at the moment is actually saying, well, what, how do you utilise that knowledge, and what are the practical strategies that teachers should be putting in place, and ensuring that they're actually communicating that how of the research.
Is that happening anywhere? Or is that, you know, up to individuals who might be very strong leaders in their specialties or within schools? Everyone, of course, under the resource constraints that they are anyway, but are there some people who are managing to take the, and let's be honest about the wordiness and the particular approach that academia often takes to making academic documents. So is there anyone taking, just simplifying often the communication of the concepts and then putting it into practical, usable steps? Is anyone doing it?
So I think there are a couple of examples overseas where there are organisations that have identified this same challenge and the gap between research and practice and are trying to address it and create what's often termed usable knowledge. Within New Zealand, I think that there are individual examples of people trying to do this, and we've also got examples of some academics who are going out and working very closely with individual schools and individual teachers to help them to put in place the research that they are undertaking, and that is having considerable effect on student outcomes and on improving teaching and learning. But I would argue that we've got 2,500 schools in New Zealand. We've got over 60,000 teachers in the compulsory sector. We can't be addressing it by a single researcher going out and targeting individual schools. We need a more systemic solution than that.
You call it a non-system, in fact, in New Zealand. And I suppose we've been through it, haven't we, in various iterations. There were the school advisors who went out and then they were that system was sort of reduced somewhat, very significantly some years ago. But apart from that, is there effectively nothing that as a matter of a reason for being is constantly communicating in a usable way the latest research?
I would stand by calling it a non-system, and I think it's something that goes back a long time, and it's the result that we have these separate pockets of research, practice and policy, and I think they each speak slightly different languages. They operate on very different incentive systems, and there hasn't to date been an intermediary organisation that can try to facilitate the flows of knowledge within education. And I think it also speaks to New Zealand having a devolved school system where we have each school's autonomous. And that means that actually, in order to get research out into schools, you have to be targeting at individual schools or individual teachers. There's no middle layer or middle level to help that dissemination happen.
There's a Ministry of Education.
There is a Ministry of Education.
Not happening there.
At the moment, I don't think it's happening as effectively as it could be there. But again, I would say that it's not necessarily the fault of any one part of the education system. It's a historical problem of it not being really anyone's responsibility.
The new COLs, as they are called, communities of learning, that are being introduced under the government's Investing in Educational Success, still in early days, many of them. Again, this is bringing together clusters of schools to try and share best practice and bring forward leaders and best practice within their areas. Is this going to fill the gap?
I think it'll go some way to filling the gap. I think we run the risk at the moment of moving from a system of autonomous schools to a system of autonomous COLs, which means that you might get individual COLs of 8 to 12 schools working collaboratively and sharing their knowledge and their expertise. But what I'd say is we need to get better at being able to identify our effective COLs and helping them to disseminate what it is that they're learning amongst other COLs, because we know that a lot of the communities of learning are working on exactly the same achievement challenges. And so I would suggest that they have a lot to learn from each other, and we need to support them to enable that inter-COL learning.
What will your model look like? Because when we talk about digital, it's not this idea, again, that every kid needs to have five tablets and a mobile device from the age of 4. That's not what you're talking about. You're talking about using the technologies we have to usefully share information. What would it look like?
So I think what we're looking at the moment is we're actually looking at both an online and an offline model, because one of the things that came out very strongly in our survey was that teachers want easier access to usable knowledge in a digital format, but they also want to have opportunities for in-person sharing and in-person conversations and discussions. And so what we're wanting to build at the Education Hub is we're creating an online knowledge hub, and we're identifying the key themes or topics that teachers are wanting information on. And we're going out and we're capturing the best practice and the best research in that area and putting it into plain language guides, and also going out and actually identifying our expert researchers in the area and working with them to capture their knowledge, to undertake videos with them so that they can be explaining the ideas in more detail to teachers. And the other thing that we're doing is we're also going out to find our expert teachers and school leaders in each of the different areas and working with them to capture their practice and to create multimedia case studies so that people can be learning from the information and the knowledge being applied in practice.
Give me an idea of two of the most common areas that you're hearing from all teachers and how you will turn them into this resource, accessible resource.
So two of the key areas that we're starting with are innovative learning environments. So the ministry has a policy at the moment of trying to encourage schools to adopt what are called innovative learning environments. And I think teachers have identified to us that this is an area that they're struggling with. They're struggling to understand how best to teach in these new learning spaces and to adapt their pedagogy to best suit these. So what we're wanting to do is we're going out and working with researchers who are undertaking research in how best to teach in innovative learning environments and working with them to identify what the key strategies are, and then going out into the schools that have managed to create really effective teaching and learning opportunities in these new innovative learning environments and capturing what it is that they're doing that's working and sharing that with other teachers. And the other area that we're going to be working on first is assessment and feedback. And again, it's a very similar process of identifying our researchers who are doing some fantastic research in this area, and also the schools or teachers who are creating effective assessment practices and feedback practices in their schools.
It occurs to me that, and I was thinking of an interview that has been shared many, many times, in fact, is still being shared, that I did recently with the researcher Nathan Mackayde-Wallace, that sometimes what the research globally might suggest as best practice is not what becomes adopted as practice. And how will you deal with those kinds of controversies, with the idea that we are over-testing kids in schools, with the idea that some of what I suppose is, you know, the policy of the day is not necessarily supported by the weight of evidence?
Absolutely, and that was a really interesting interview to listen to, and I agree with so much of what he was saying. And I think that's part of the role that the Education Hub wants to play, is ensuring that the information that we're putting out and that we're communicating to teachers is research that's being validated, that's reliable, and that is based on actual evidence, to ensure that we are promoting practice in schools and in classrooms that actually is going to make a difference. And I think you're absolutely right. There are a lot of what I'd call educational myths out there. And part of the work that we want to do as the Education Hub is to work to dispel some of those myths.
What will you do if that brings you essentially into conflict with current government policy as expressed through the ministry?
That's a very good question. And I think I'd answer that by saying, you know, one of the things that we're very keen to do is we're keen to partner with all the different organisations, but we're also very keen to retain our independence. And one of the things that the teachers said in their survey is that they want to have a source of knowledge and information in education that they see as being independent and reliable and trustworthy, and we're going to do our utmost to ensure
so
that we are that.
So you won't compromise the way you shape information to fit with what is current policy. You will just put the best information out there as far as you are concerned.
That is what we're aiming to do.
We haven't even mentioned the colleges of education, which of course are the educators of our teachers. Where do they sit in this, and are they going to get on board, do you think, or are they going to find it a threat?
No, so we've actually had a number of conversations with academics and with universities, and they have been hugely supportive of the mission of the Education Hub. And I think also they recognise that a lot of the research that they are doing is not getting into practice as quickly as they'd like. And a lot of our educational researchers were teachers. They started their careers in the classroom, and they're strongly committed to ensuring that their research has an impact on practice. And they see that we can help them to enable them to bridge that gap.
Will you need the Ministry of Education blessing of some sort in effect? Because this is the other thing. As I said, everyone has their pet approach to everything, and if you're going to be credible, if you're going to be a place that the teachers en masse are comfortable going to, will you need some kind of cooperative arrangement with the ministry?
Yes, I think absolutely. We're very much committed to having a relationship with the ministry, and I'd say that we had a really positive meeting with Iona Halstead, the Secretary for Education, who recognised that this gap between research and practice exists and that it's an area that we need to be addressing, and she was very supportive of the work that we're doing.
What is the fundamental problem of the disconnect? I can understand the disconnect between education, between academic research and practical application. As I said, that happens in every discipline. It's the idea between the pure research for research's sake sometimes, and then that research actually should be investigating the practical needs. We hit the same arguments in science and beyond. But if you look at the system itself, the education system itself, and its disconnect, as you seem to be describing it, what's at the heart of that? Do people trust each other? Do people want to work together?
Yeah, I think trust's a really interesting word, and I think that there is an issue with trust in elements of our education system. I think that, and it's something that different commentators have reflected on numerous times, is that I think each of the different players have a certain mistrust of the other players, and part of that is because they operate in different spheres. And, you know, when you're a teacher in the classroom, the primary thing that you're concerned for, the thing that drives you in your practice, is ensuring that your kids are getting the best opportunities that they can, and you have a huge commitment to that. And I think when you take researchers, they are concerned about students and ensuring that students have the best outcomes, but they're at a slight disconnect from that. And so I think that that means that they're operating in a slightly different way, and it has led in some ways to a breakdown of trust. But I think the results of our survey would also show that educators do actually trust research. In fact, one of the amazing findings was that about 60% of teachers thought that research was often or always trustworthy. And so I think there's a huge amount of goodwill and potential, and it's just about trying to work with that.
There are others in this field already, the likes of the Council of Educational Research. Again, are you going to cooperate if the principle is to make accessible in readable, practical ways, in applicable ways, the best research? Are you open to others being involved as well?
Absolutely. I mean, that's part of a fundamental part of our mission, is that we want to partner with different organisations to enable them to do this and to enable the dissemination of research information. So, yes, we are very keen to partner with all stakeholder groups.
A couple of final practical questions. How is this going to be funded? How are you going to make this happen?
A very good question, Catherine. At the moment, we are reliant on philanthropic funding. And so that's our model at the moment. And in a way, it's been an advantage because it's enabled us to remain independent, and we'll keep reviewing that model as we go on.
Second thing, will this be open? Will it be a case of teachers just being able to click and go online, or even for that matter others, parents just being able to click and go online, or is it going to be a bit more layered than that?
No, absolutely open. I think we're strong believers that information and knowledge, particularly information and knowledge about education, should be freely available to all.
We'll talk again. Thanks for coming in this morning.
Thank you.
That's Dr. Nina Hood of the just-launched Education Hub. There's a link on our website if you want to see where they're at so far.